Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games by the people, for the people, and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Breakfastist and Lone Survivor.
Yes, Breakfastist.
Breakfastist.
Which is a hard game to say. we should say up front that we're friends with the person who made this.
Yes. As biased, if not more so, than the Boring Man review.
Yeah. You know, I'm able to be honest about it, but it's also, you know, when I like it. Mm-hmm. This is our friend Pete.
Yes.
Who is known for kind of his designs and iOS stickers and music.
Mm-hmm.
And is expanding into the realm of games.
Yes. I own like 6 shirts designed by Pete at this point, I think.
Yes. Super, super cute.
Yes. He's got a great, you know, Japanese kawaii style, inspired art style that he, puts onto everything and sells it, and you should buy them all because they're all really cute and good.
They are very cute. Even though, like, you get all of them, it's like $300 in shirts.
It's a lot of stuff.
We understand the economy is tight, and you might have other things to do with $300, but you could definitely afford one of those shirts.
Yeah, they're good.
I actually was getting out my shirt today because I'm so angry about video games as part of my official con uniform.
Oh yeah,
and since I'm going to a con. So let's talk about Breakfastist.
Absolutely. So Breakfastist is a mobile game. It's available on both iOS and Android. The Android one is very recent. Looks like the iOS one might have been March 1st, but I feel like it might have been earlier than that. But it's Pete Ellison did all the art and music, and Kevin John, going by Lucid Sheep Games, did the programming and game design stuff. So it is a incredibly interesting twist on Breakout Clone.
Yeah, it's like a fast-paced arcade Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
With like a real like kind of thumping soundtrack that it works really well to, about hitting blocks which represent breakfast items and releasing ghosts and demons from them to exorcise them.
Yes.
And then get scored based on this in cash.
Yeah, you get paid a bunch of money for exercising stuff from breakfast foods.
Yeah. It is, and it's pretty cool. I've played a couple different Breakout clones because I like Breakout the old arcade and templates. I like Breakout a lot. And this one works really well on mobile,
Absolutely.
Just on touchscreen.
Yeah, it's a really good mobile game, and it's very quick and engaging. Like you're absorbed into it because everything's happening so flashy, and like you said, the music's thumping, and it's just kind of sucking you in, and goes very, very fast.
Yeah. It's like a high score. It's kind of got like a little bit of like Super Hexagon appeal to it. Like, you know, beat your highest run kind of thing, like top your highest score.
Right. And it also provides achievements, kind of a singular achievement goal every time you progress through. That leads to unlocks, new songs that'll get added to the soundtrack while you play, and new items, new power-ups that can drop to help you break up blocks, and then otherwise from that you just get cute little sticker icons.
Yep. And Pete is like a professional musician, so he does the songs are legitimately like super good. It's kind of like I don't know if he does it so much anymore, but he did these kind of like DJ set raves at like anime conventions and stuff. And it's just real, you know, it's like, I don't know exactly how to describe it. It's like really cute techno music. It's cute.
Really super upbeat EDM stuff. The soundtrack for this in particular has a Vocaloid artist that he's programmed to do the vocals for most of the songs.
Cyber Diva. Yeah is the thing. It's really cool. He talks about the soundtrack, he talks about it being inspired by like early Dreamcast games.
See that.
And you can totally see that. It's kind of neat the way that Pete, because like, you know, I met him at I think the first Portland Retro Gaming Expo,
right?
That we did. So I've been kind of looking at his stuff for years now, and it's cool that this is the first time he's done something directly video game related. But he's always been influenced by it. A lot of his shirt designs, a lot of the kind of covers for his stuff have this kind of like a video game thing. And a lot of times they're in it's weird things that you don't see a lot of people taking inspiration from. So like, you know, he loves like Alex Kidd.
Yeah,
like nobody loves Alex Kidd. Like, but he loves Alex Kidd. Like, he's just like, this is the best kid.
The best kid.
Like, and nobody likes Alex Kidd. But he's like, he's way into Alex Kidd. He's way into like Slaughterhouse. It's real Sega Kid kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So you see kind of weird things, and that pops up in the game. The game itself is, you have to be really down for it. So you just control it with the touchscreen, moving your paddle back and forth. Mm-hmm. You get power-ups for as long as I played it. Most of the power-ups I got were, you know, the kind of gun variety, like a projectile mm-hmm. kind of thing that I would do. And it's really, really fast-paced because it has the other kind of breakout twist on it, other than it just being breakout, is that in a Tetris-style way, the blocks are falling towards you.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a timed element. Like, you have to get all of the blocks, but there's this implicit timer, which, to me, that kind of mechanic could have gone away where this became, like, a microtransaction hell game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, put in a crystal to slow it down once or something right. like that. But it's not. It's just, like, a flat, you know, flat game.
Yeah, no in-game purchases.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. So
he wouldn't rob you like that.
Yeah, he's into it, and it's it's doing real well, which is great.
Awesome.
But I really wanted to talk about it because I think it's a really fun mobile game. Like,
I think it's really fun too. Yeah,
it's filled my my slot for, you know, my Cannibalt slot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to think about this kind of thing. You know, it's a real mindless game in the best possible way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say? I mean, there could be. I'm not the world's best player at or anything, so maybe there are unlocks and stuff that become. I don't know if there's an ending to it. Like,
yeah,
maybe, you know, at some point there is something that crazy that happens.
I've only unlocked one power up so far. Like I said, you get them through beating the singular kind of goal that it gives you mm-hmm. Before you start each game, and that one is a frozen waffle that when you pick it up, it freezes the timer. Essentially, it mm-hmm. stops everything from falling for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
So that's the only one I've gotten so far. I know from the unlock screen that there's three more to get, but I do not know what those are yet. But yeah, I don't think I have anything more to add. I mean, it's really solid. It's a great mobile game
yeah.
that plays to the platform it's on really well, and it's beat.
It's super cool. Yeah, it's really good. Right now, I think at the time we're recording this, I think they're doing like a 7-inch of the vinyl, which I think you can still pre-order.
Yeah, from the Yeti, who
yeah.
Pete. Like that shirt you were talking about, the I'm So Angry About Video Games Pete collabs with every once in a while, and they've got a cool little mini vinyl that looks like an egg.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah,
yeah. So check it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, onto you know, Meteor Affair, that is also like kind of a, you know, problematic, I guess. Lone Survivor.
Lone Survivor,
which is one of our backer request games.
Yes, it is.
If you want to tell us about Lone Survivor, I will look up who requested this.
That sounds like a great idea. So Lone Survivor is it's a survival adventure game that is available on Windows, OS X, Linux, PS3, Vita, PS4, and Wii U. It originally came out in 2012. They did a director's cut of it at some point in there. And it's available on pretty much anything you can possibly want to play it on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a adventure survival game, but primarily like survival horror.
Yes, yeah, it's got horror themes, and you're fighting against some mutant zombie types. So there is a element of combat to it, but the main kind of gameplay is typical adventure fare of getting this item to help you progress to the next bit and moving through the levels of your apartment and onto the street level.
Yes.
You play as you. The main character, who's a young man wearing a face mask because of this outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Not much is provided in terms of setup for why you're in the scenario you're in. And there are other people you run into, but nothing about them seems right. Like your character himself isn't quite sure he's talking to the people you're talking to. So,
yeah, yeah. The I think I owe, well, okay, so this is just kind of a bonus then. This is a game I've had for a little while. I think I messed something up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this was actually something that was donated during Cole's leg of the thing.
Okay.
For him to do a stream of.
Oh.
But I sniped it. So it has been sniped.
Okay.
Cole can still do that. He can still stream the game, but we're going to talk about it too because I played it.
Yeah, I played it as well.
Yeah, sorry about that, Nick.
No, not a problem.
Yeah, this has been on my like backlog list forever. It's one of those like humble games that everybody gets.
Absolutely, you
know?
Yeah.
And I'd only played the first like, you know, 45 minutes of it or so before because it's pretty obtuse.
I think.
And we'll get into spoilers. I should say that I didn't beat this. I ended up watching a Let's Play.
I also did that.
Yeah, because I got pretty frustrated. I think this game is kind of frustrating.
Yes.
One of the things about it is that it's so the three different elements of it, like the survival, the adventure game and the horror. The horror stuff I think generally works. It's a lot of like kind of sneaking around monsters, you know, kind of being stealthy around them. There is like some rudimentary combat you have to do, but it's very survival horror in that it is your resources are very limited.
Yes. Sleep and food primarily.
Sleep, food. There's also mood, which is one of them. And that's all good. I think that works pretty well. And then the survival element, like the going and gathering food, cooking it, kind of combining dishes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought I would hate that, and I think that actually does work pretty well.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And it seems to be, it kind of leaves it, you have the basic resources you need to get through a playthrough, essentially. But it leaves things open for, you know, cooking and combining and stuff for people who want to dig into those mechanics a little bit more. You don't need to play the game. You can just find snacks that aren't the greatest for you and aren't going to get you the best ending, because some of them aren't good for your sanity.
Yeah. But. Yeah. The ending is, it's all dependent on the ending. So if you want to be really good at it, and it's got a new play game plus and stuff, you're supposed to deal with that. And like, for the most part, I think that works. There's one really hateful decision in regards to the food that I'll talk about here, which is like not really a spoiler. There's a item, you get a can opener in the game that allows you to eat canned food that is like kind of off the beaten path in an area you've already explored. And I would not have gone there if I didn't read to go there beforehand.
Oh yeah. And it does make you the actual amount of levels aren't very much. And so it does have you backtrack a lot.
Yeah. I mean, then that's definitely true. And I was going to say, like, so the third pillar of this, like the adventure game stuff, I don't like.
Yeah.
In this. And I like adventure games, but they're not puzzles. It's just, you know, I got to this thing. I need three things to bypass it. Mm-hmm. Go to these three dangerous areas and get the three things.
It's very fetch questy through the
whole
thing.
Super fetch questy. And that aspect of it, I think, interferes with both other aspects.
Yeah.
You know, like having to, you know, it is a game where it's an adventure game. Like you have to explore every corner. But you're going to be doing tons of backtracking, which makes the survival part of it really hard.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's more of a resource because as you pass by these monsters, you know, you're just going to end up going through more resource drains.
Yeah.
You start out, you don't have to kill anything. You can hide behind things.
Right.
But eventually that stops being the case fairly early on, actually.
Yeah.
And it's going to take one resource or another kind of no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the main thing for me that conflicts with that, with those mechanics is the fact that you have to go back to the bedroom to save every time you want to save.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to lose a lot of progress in this game.
Yes. Yeah, it's very easy. Down to like there's a warping mechanic where you can warp back to the bedroom, but you can only have one kind of warp active at a time.
Yeah.
Rather than a full fast travel system, because again, they want you to have that attrition.
Right.
Kind of thing. But it just ended up being like kind of hateful to me. Like I was just like, This is too much.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to get a good ending, and I'm not bad at survival horror in general.
Right.
I just think exploration while having to think of my food, like there's a finite amount of food, you know? And then I got to a place, and I imagine it's a sticking point for a lot of people, because it's a side scrolling game. But you're doing navigation and you know, you have a map that would be in three dimensions. So it's a little bit like, what am I thinking of? Like Castlevania 2.
Right.
You know, where it's like sometimes you go through it's not really like that. There aren't any doors in that game. But like sometimes you go through a door and then you're in a side-scrolling section. Or like Darkest Dungeon, I guess.
Yeah.
But with kind of a worse map. You know, like a map that's like a survival horror map. So you have to, you can't just go forward when there's a hallway. Like there's a lot of times a lock, and a lock isn't necessarily a lock. Like you need a key. It could be a puzzle or a monster you have to deal with later or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And that, that's pretty unintuitive in that sense. Yeah. I don't hate it. Clearly we both decided that it would be more fun to watch what happens at the end to get ourselves there. So,
because like the horror part of it is also kind of good. Like it's really clearly Silent Hill inspired.
Yes, very
like
Silent Hill inspired.
It's going for Silent Hill. One of the things that is, and I don't know if you had this experience or not either, but the character Sprite, he's wearing the surgical mask, but I could not see it as a big grin.
Yeah, it does look.
And
like
his
big
eyes
grin.
Are kind of half closed the whole time, so it looks like a Pepe. Like I'm like,
oh, no.
Like it looks like a troll face or something.
Oh no!
Like, why is this guy like just walking around with his like Family Guy eyes, grinning at everything? Like
it took me a minute to not see it as a grin, but once I got over that, I was okay.
It's a weird proportion. It looks a little bit like Salt and Sanctuary too, like
yeah, it a is real a weird big proportion. Jaw
kind of thing. Super weird in that respect. But there are like things to like about it. Like some of the dialogue and some of the encounters that you get into are really offbeat and weird in a Twin Peaks-y, you know, Silent Hill way.
Very much so. I was going to say something about Twin Peaks too. There's a specific, I think it's like kind of the easiest ending to get. Maybe it was an ending scene. I don't even know. It might be just near the end. But there's a scene that I was like, oh, that's like super Twin Peaks-y.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I think it's very tough. I think you have to be kind of down for it. And I think it is meant to be played like, it's okay if you fail a few times and then get more efficient, you know, for up to that point. So you maybe get to the right part where I died, which I think is really kind of hateful. And then, you know, I died because I ran out of resources. If I were to start over, I would be better about my resources and get there. Right. It's like an hour and a half or 2 hours of play. And I just didn't feel like doing it over again.
That's exactly where I fell on it.
Yeah.
Just like losing time in this game feels like such a big task, because of, I don't know, just how stressful and how resource intensive it is to progress.
You can make the game like borderline unwinnable. Like if you do a really shitty job managing your food and stuff early on,
mm-hmm.
And then get to, you know, and then the game saves or whatever, you know, you've eaten too much. Like there aren't meters. Like we should say that we have those meters you have to watch. It's all kind of done through inference. Like your character will say how they look in the mirror or they'll use dialogue.
Yeah.
But there's a huge shades of gradation there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like a toggle where they're hungry or not hungry. Like it's a meter that you fill up and you can eat like a really good meal and then not have to eat for like a day and a half.
Right. And, you know? And it also is a meter in terms of like, you'll hit a point where your character will say, I'm hungry. That's yeah. not like a, you know, dire situation point, but there's no gauge as to how far the food pulls you away from that stage.
Yeah. So it's like, am I hungry like I need to eat crackers or am I hungry like I need to eat like a turkey dinner?
Right.
You know, and it takes all that stuff and kind of leaves it up to the player to figure out. And in a way that makes me really feel like it is something that is meant to be played over and over until you figure it out or played with a FAQ open. And like neither of those things are very, you know, I don't think are very good. Like I think it's the game should communicate to the player like what it wants from them.
It certainly feels like I looked at the endings and what's required of them and all except for the first, I don't know. You can't do it on the first playthrough. Like yeah. nothing about the game. Well, you literally can't.
Yeah. The best play ending has to be on a second playthrough.
That's true. But even the ones leading up to that are not really accomplishable without purposely, like you have to purposely do stealth stuff. You have to purposely avoid stuff that decreases your sanity.
Yeah.
And like the mirror mechanic itself is a sanity decreasing mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Which is just, it's just harsh.
Yeah. Very you know, harsh.
It's harsh and it's a signaling thing where like the good endings in this, are when you lean towards pacifism in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which for NPCs and other humans, like makes sense, but you're literally getting, you know, dinged when you kill monsters.
Right.
And there's nothing, I didn't see any swerves that like, you know, they look like monsters to you. Like, no, like, you know, these used to be our loved ones. No reason for that.
Yeah. Not even in the typical zombie fare.
Yeah. Yeah. Like these are our old friends. Like we don't, they just seem like monsters.
Yep.
You know, they could be hallucinations because it's a psychological thing, but they don't seem like you're accidentally, you know, killing your apartment mates.
Right.
You know, which would have kind of justified that playing into the ending. So it's like a one man game, you know, it's like one dude who, Jasper Burns.
Jasper Byrne. Yeah.
Is the guy. So, you know, Superflat Games, which is, it's mostly Justin Byrne with, Jasper Burns with some other people. So it's like, I understand why it kind of lacks some of that, you know, polish
right.
or friendliness, but it got in my way, you know?
Definitely. So, well, let's get into some spoiler stuff here in a minute. We'll do a little bit of admin stuff real quick. You know, if you like the show, if you like the network, the best way to support us is to head to patreon.com/stuckfeedtv. And there you can throw us a couple bucks a month and get rewarded for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And that supports not only the show, but all shows on DuckFeedTV.
Yeah.
And it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. There is, if you like the show, you can also rate and review it on iTunes. You can tell your friends. And yeah, and if you want to suggest games, mm-hmm. We have, you can go to the website.
Yep,
and do so through the contact form.
Yep, check it out, comrade.com. Or, you know, you can also find us on typical social media, facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or at Comrade Podcast on Twitter.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so we're going to talk about a couple spoilers with the part that, you know, presumably killed both of us in Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Where'd you get to?
I got to the beginning of the third floor.
Okay.
When they started introducing more monsters, and the like second kind, I don't know if you got to those guys who were like little, mostly stationary little pot dudes.
Yeah, the little fat guys.
Yeah. And it was also about the same time that you get the flares. Mm-hmm. And I was still kind of learning that mechanic and dealing with these new monsters, and essentially just ran out of resources and got mauled.
Mm.
And hadn't been back to the bedroom in a while. I had like red pilled twice or something, and kept myself going.
Well, you don't want to be a cuck. you got a red pill. If you get pills in this game, red pills will keep you awake.
Mm-hmm.
Blue pills give you weird dreams and make you fall asleep, and green pills do the same thing.
Yep, and two different kinds of dreams.
They give you different dreams, but they both make you sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit further than that. I got to the beginning, or got to the basement part of it, and like
that might be what I meant. That's the bottom.
Yeah, I guess that's the third. Yeah. I guess that's the third. It's the third floor you go to, but not the third floor vertically.
Correct.
Yeah, that's where I got to, and it sucks. Like, it's mm-hmm. such a shitty maze. You don't get a map. Like, when you go down there,
not right away. Yeah,
yeah. You take a while to get the map. I ran out of resources and got super pissed. And then went on, found the Let's Play, and it turns out you have to go off the map. Like, it's not only do you have to find a map, but you have to like go off of it. What the hell? That drove me nuts. And it just, there's a afterwards, again, just really, really harsh. Like, you have to navigate this place. That's the hardest place to navigate in the game.
Yeah.
And then it ends with a chase sequence where if you open the map, you'll die because you're being chased.
Yep.
So you have to like memorize your way into it. That's too much.
It's real rough.
Yeah. I think that's I think it's too much to expect from a game that doesn't autosave, or, that like there's a save point. So if you don't do that, you have to navigate down to the basement again.
Right.
Navigate out.
The fact that saving is optional, but not available all the time.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why is it?
Well, it's to make that tension of like, that's what they're going for. It's frustrating.
Right.
Like, oh, I haven't saved in a while. Should I push on or should I go back? But the thing is, I don't think these systems work very well together, because if you're doing well with the food system, you don't have to really go back very often.
Right.
But if you don't, you run into something like this. You run into the horror part of it, and you can just lose tons of progress. Like, you didn't have anything drawing you back. You didn't have to sleep. You didn't have to cook any food, because right. you had prepared well, but it means you're more likely to lose progress. It's like you're punished for being prepared.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And any game where your what you get for a fail state is like significant time and frustration, then you should probably reconsider how you're handling your fail state.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, most fail states do boil down to time, right? Like, doing it over again.
This is like a lot of time.
Exactly. And like, sometimes you get some gains from that. Like, sometimes you either gain a little bit of knowledge, or you gain, literal things, like in like Rogue Legacy, you gain mm-hmm. points you can spend, things like that. Like, there are ways to kind of soften that blow. And this game just doesn't really do anything to do that. It's real old school.
Yeah.
In a way that I think is supposed to be, that save point kind of thing is a Resident Evil thing. But this is, I lost more time in this than I did in Resident Evil, like, ever. Because it's tougher, I think.
Absolutely.
So it bummed me out. Like, I definitely wanted to like it, but
yeah. But I mean, there, the storyline and plot stuff, I did think was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I did keep on it. So as I, said in the opening, like, you play as you in this zombie apocalypse wasteland of an apartment building, essentially. Mm-hmm. And all the like weirdness around the other inhabitants you run into is definitely done very well. I like how everyone's very vague about the situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like hardline in this surviving like you are. They'll give you resources, they'll help you out, but I think the very first NPC you run into is having a dance party.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it's not happening, when you come back out.
Yeah, no, they're all dead when you come back out.
So you're definitely seeing stuff, and they do that really early, like establish this. You're maybe not mm-hmm. not doing what you think you're doing. You're not seeing what you think you're seeing, which is cool. Like, unreliable narrator in that respect is pretty neat. Some of the things like I've read when people talk about the kind of theming behind this, or like what it's about.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of like, you start out, obviously taking care of yourself, and then mm-hmm. to get the good ending and stuff, you start taking care of other people.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of, you know, we have to kind of pass that forward. You know, those who have should help out others, you know, like people right. help you out in the beginning and then you have to save other people. Like, I like that as a thematic, you know, kind of core
Me too. To the game. Yeah.
You know, it's just the ease of use stuff wasn't there. So like the survivor, the adventure part of it just didn't work.
Yeah. Getting myself through it was hard enough to start making yeah. considerations to that extent.
Yeah. Started making me crank out.
Yeah. So did you watch any of the endings?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched all of them.
Oh, okay. I watched the blue ending and I read about the other one.
Yeah. So there's different kinds of ways that it can end. The best ending, is the green ending.
No, the white ending is the best
that's
one.
The hardest one to get, but I think that isn't that like, you know, I'm looking through it to refresh my memory. Yeah, that's also a good one. They're both like good about getting moving on. I think you're right though.
Yeah,
the white one is, it's like the non-delusional moving on.
Yeah,
like in both of them. So the green ending, you find this girl. Like people who interpret this game think it is about being the last survivor of a bus crash, like losing somebody. Like that bus that you go to crashed. The girl was in it. She was your love. She died. And you have not been able to move on.
Most likely, I think the theming seems to be pointing you towards being put into a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely were in a hospital trying to get over it, for absolutely sure. So the two good endings involve moving on. Like, so the green ending, you still see her and she tells you to move on and you're kind of in this like false, you know, kind of perfect, you know, idyllic hill kind of situation. And then the white ending has you down in the basement, you know, kind of dealing with the girl there, you know, kind of still going into your delusion until eventually you just wake up in the hospital.
Right.
Essentially.
Which is where the game ends. So yeah. The very last location you head to is a hospital, and the ending takes place after you lay down in the hospital bed that with your name on it, the room with your name on it in the hospital. So,
yeah.
So it's interesting. I do like all the psychological, you know, horror themes that it ties into everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not indie horror games tend to be jump scare kind of things and not lean into this kind of psychological horror.
Like, yeah, and there are no jump scares in this game for sure.
Yeah.
Like that's one huge highlight of it.
Yeah, you usually know when something's happening, going to be there. You know, because something can startle you. Like it took me a long time to realize I shouldn't go through doors with my flashlight on.
Yeah,
because then something will immediately, there'll be distortion, something will start coming towards me, but things move pretty slow for the most part.
And you can get right back into the door you came out of.
And you're just safe, you know, so there's not really jump scare based. It is psychological based. I just feel like it tried to do too much, maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
So kind of interesting, but I'm not going to miss it.
So, yeah. All right. Yeah. So I think that's about it. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, take care.